Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. King Ahaziah saw the result of Luciferian worship in his father's life, and he foolishly followed in the same course until he met God's executioner. Athaliah went ballistic when she heard that Jehu had killed her son. As a result, she seized power to become queen and ordered her grandchildren slaughtered. Yet one grandson survived. Joash remained hidden in the temple complex until a public coronation some 7 years later. Joash served the Lord until Jehoiada died, and then he fully embraced Baal worship. All three monarchs died by regicide because they embraced Lucifer's lies and rejected God. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And we're going to be talking about three people today: Ahaziah, Athaliah, and Jehoash. All of them had one thing in common. They irritated God. Matter of fact, they made God angry. And they were all murdered. So let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you will help me, Father, to present this message. And that, Lord, I will be precise, that I'll be able to read the scriptures correctly, get the names correctly, Father God, and that, Lord, I'll be able to share what you want people to know so that we can live a better life and be victorious. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before I get into the message, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Every day, 24/7, you are going to be influenced by spirits from the spirit world. You are either going to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, or you're going to be influenced by unholy spirits, demons, evil spirits, whatever you want to call them. And so no one is immune. This is something we're going to understand. Every day, every hour, every second, you are going to have influence from the Holy Spirit, or influence from unholy spirits, and they are going to determine your mood. They're going to determine how you feel emotionally, what kind of decisions you make. And so, when you find yourself irritated, agitated, just beginning to feel, you know, that my blood pressure is going up, I'm not going anyplace, know this: the Holy Spirit is not doing that. It's unholy spirits. And it's just like if you got flies in the house. You get your fly swat, then you kill them, or spray them, or do something with them. So, watch your emotions. And if you have negative emotions, notice there is an evil spirit that is ministering as hard as it can to you to get control of you and to make your day miserable. This last week, I want to share two stories with you. The first story is about a young couple. They were in their 20s, probably 25, 26 years old. Both were sheriff deputies. They worked for a sheriff department. And they'd been working there some time. They had a child, one month old baby. And something happened to the man. He's a good-looking man. His wife was good-looking. And so he committed suicide. He's about 24, 25 years old. He just decided to probably use his service weapon and shot himself in the head. He was taken on life support. The family was there. And they tried to keep him alive for about 2-3 days. And I can just see this man inside, this soul inside saying, "Oh my God, man, I don't know Jesus. I just creamed myself. I want to go back. I want to change because I'm sliding into hell." But 3 days later, they had to terminate him, and he died. And the second day after this, his beautiful wife did the same thing, used a service weapon, pulled the trigger, and she blew herself into eternity. She never was taken to the hospital. She died immediately. Why would two young people in their 20s do this? They were working as sheriff deputies. They just had a baby, or she had a baby, 1 month old. And this shows you the influence of evil spirits. That man must have felt that there's a mountain, there's something, he couldn't deal with it. And the demon says, "You know, here's a way out. You got a gun. Just pull the trigger. It's just a split second. And you are out of your misery." No, he jumped from the frying pan into the fire. And now the wife, looking at the baby, influenced by demons, and they simply sang a song to her, "Why don't you join your husband? He's in a better place." And she died. The other story I want to tell you, it's a story about a man, his girlfriend, and his estranged wife. They were not divorced, but they had separated. They were probably in their 40s, 40, 45 years old. And the man had a girlfriend, and they decided to punish the wife. And so he got a gun, traveled to where she was, put a gun to her head, and simply said, "If you don't follow me, I'm going to shoot you." She went down to the car, was taken to some place, and for the next week, she was tormented. I mean, they tormented her continually. Then they decided to move her to another place. And they moved it to another place. And then they decided that they're going to teach her a lesson. So they held down her hand. And then they cut off the little finger. And, of course, the blood spurting out. So then they simply had a lighter or whatever they had. And they just burned the flesh around the finger they had cut off to stop the blood. The woman that was hurt managed to escape, and she ran and got help. The people arrested. Ask yourself this question. Why would a person in his right mind be so evil? I can see if people can't get along, you know, then move apart. But to go and get somebody at gunpoint and then torture them for about a week and finally finish by simply amputating the little pinky finger and then burn her with fire to stop the blood. Why would they do that? Evil spirits. So what I'm going to say to you is this. Evil spirits are on the move. They are not more powerful today, but their power has been increased. The Holy Spirit is moving back. And this is why you and I got to watch ourselves, because you are ministered to either by the Holy Spirit or by evil spirits. And how can you discern that? When you get irritated, you get negative emotions. That's not the Holy Spirit. You have spirit from the other side. Let's look upon our outline right now. So we have here King Ahaziah. Now, his dad had just been killed. And Ahaziah now began to reign, 42 years old. We don't know how many wives he had from the children. His chief counselor was his mother, Athaliah. She was a priest of Baal and a witch. She was a wicked woman with no scruples. And she kept the cabinet of counselors that served Jehoram during Ahaziah's single year as king. 2 Chronicles 22, and we read the first four verses here. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, the youngest son, king of his stead, for the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the elders. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Imagine this now, you have a mother, she's a witch, she's a Baal worshiper, and she simply says, son, I want you to do more wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. The people you hang around with can either propel you higher in the kingdom of God, or if you're hanging around with a wrong crowd, they will drag you down into Satan's domain. Let me read verse 4 again. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Now, his father had been killed because he assisted the ungodly. So Ahaziah simply, we read here in verse number 5, he walked also after the counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrian smote Joram. Any time when you hang around with the ungodly, it's not going to go well. And we have Jehoram returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah, where he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel because he was sick. So here's the man now. He's walking in counsel of evil. He's going down to see this son of Satan, king of Israel. How are you doing? And we read here in verse number 7. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. So Ahaziah simply was on his way out. Did he recognize that? Not really. Turn with me, keep your finger here, and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 9. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 1. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophet and said to him, gird up your loins, take this box of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when you come thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren, and carry him to the inner chamber. And take the box of oil, pour it out in his head, and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. God had appointed Jehu to be king. In the same chapter, we read this from verse number 11. Then Jehu came forth to the servant of his Lord and once said to him, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to you? And he said unto them, you know the man and his communication? And they said, no. It is false. Tell us now. And he said, thus and thus spoke it to me, saying, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment, put it under him on the top of the stairs, and blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. So God simply said, I'm going to clean house, and I'm going to use Jehu. So we find here, as we read the story here, we pick it up here, verse number 14. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired with Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth Gilead, he and Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, if it be your mind, that then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go tell it in Jezreel. So now Jehu, simply with his troops, traveled with his chariots. And if you pick it up here now, in verse number 21. And Joram said, make ready, and his chariot was make ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu, and met him in a portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of your mother Jezebel and the witchcraft are so many. And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, there is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Joram between his arms, and the arrow went out of his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Now in verse 27, but when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. Jehu followed after him and said, smite them all to the chariot. And they did so at the coming up to Gur, which is by Ibleam. And he fled to Megiddo, and he died there. And his servant carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem, buried him in the sepulchre with his elders in the city of David. So now we have Ahaziah. He served 1 year. He escaped death by the grace of God, lived to be 42 years, got married, had children, became a king, but he had the wrong counselors. His mother was not helping him out, and he died. If we turn up to 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 13 and 14, And Jehu met with a brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, Who are you? And they answered, We are the brethren of Ahaziah. And we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen. Here was a delegation there of 42 princes, politicians from Judah, going up. They did not know that the king of Israel had died. And if you look now in verse 14, and Jehu said, Take them alive. And he took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men, neither left he any of them. I want you to understand this now. I've got some criticism for speaking and preaching on the kings of Israel and Judah. And people have said, you know, we really doesn't apply to our lives today. Yes, it applies very much. And so, we had now, Ahaziah is dead. His brothers, plus the political leaders of Israel, 42 of them, all had died. And that's it. Remember this. God is love. God is a love of mercy. But God is also God of judgment. And when the time comes that God said, okay, you're not going to repent. You're not going to change. You're going to do what you're doing. He will pull the plug. And it will not be pretty. We got to understand that. We're heading in now, eventually into the time of the Antichrist, tribulation period. We do know that 1/3 of the world population is going to be killed. There's going to be all kind of disasters. And there's not going to be, we're not going to have a constitution, there's not going to be a Supreme Court, there's not going to be senators and congressmen and women. It's going to be an Antichrist. It's going to be a dictatorship. There's going to be hard times coming. And people are going to say, well, God, where are you? And God is going to say this. I was with you for years and years. I blessed America. I blessed you. I blessed your socks off. And what did you do? You spit me in the face. You sinned, drank, fornicated, adultery, kill the children. What do you want me to do with you? There's going to a payday is coming. It's not going to be pretty. Page 2 on my outline. There was panic now in Jerusalem. And the way it was set up was simply this, that the king could not rule by himself. A king or a queen, in this case, Athaliah, you got to have people working for you. Just like, for example, if you got a contractor, if he is a housing contractor, a plastering contractor, or a plumbing contractor, whatever it is, a man needs workers. He needs supplies. So if a man says, okay, I'm a contractor, I'm going to build a hospital, and he got no workers, he's not going to build a hospital or a factory, whatever it is. It takes people. So how did kings get people? It's called bribery, just like we have today in the White House. So what you have is this, that Joe Biden simply are picking out cronies that, you know, are like him, or not necessarily like him, but, you know, they like to have the positions. So they become ambassadors, they become secretary of state, they become this or that, you know, and they give them out jobs and lots of money. And so these people are yes people. And they say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And they will be loyal as long as the money flows, They get the land grants. They need all kind of different things. So let's turn now to 2 Chronicles 22:10. So there was panic now in Jerusalem. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that his son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. She was a grandmother. Now, she must have prayed with the grandchildren, must have had them come over the years. But now, her son was dead. She simply knew this, that if people got in power that worshipped God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they will execute her. So she said, I have to be the queen. And in order to be the queen, I'm going to have all my grandchildren killed. She didn't do it herself. Kings, presidents, rulers, they don't kill themselves necessarily. Adolf Hitler never really killed anyone. He just had other people doing it. Same with Joseph Stalin. So can you imagine now these children? They were probably anywhere from 3 years old, maybe up to 15 years old, 20 years old, 16 years old. And here, you know, came soldiers and just opened up the door and simply held them down and stuck them with a sword. There must have been a lot of blood and crying. But Athaliah didn't care. She wanted power. Now, we haven't someone intervened here. So in verse number 11, we read this in the same chapter. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, she was a sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so they slew him not. And he was with him hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. Now, Athaliah thought, okay, I got the power now. I'm the queen of Judah. If you look at my outline here, bottom of page number 2, we read the following. Athaliah ruled Judah as a queen for 6 years. She was a usurper with no legal right to the throne for the following reasons. She came from the bloodline of Ahab, Israel. She was a half-breed. Jezebel was from Tyre, that was her mother. Now, the Bible does not reveal what took place during these 6 years, and her cabinet must have consisted of evil men that simply were determined to do as much destruction as possible. Turn to page number 3, and on the outline we have the uprising. And I'm going to stay in 2 Chronicles, Chapter 23, 1 through 3. Jehoiada was a priest. He was a main priest there. And he built up a network of Jews who wanted to restore the true worship of God to Judah, get rid of the usurper queen. And we read here from verse number, chapter 23, the first 3 verses. And in the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself to captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, Ishmael the son of Jehonan, Azariah the son of Obed, Manasseh the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zidri, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered Levites out of the cities of Judah, and the chief of the father of Israel, they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said to them, Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of his son David. Then in the rest of the chapter, he simply said, Now, we're going to secure the temple. I'm going to have armed guards here, and so on. And he set everything up for it to be successful and for them to simply be able to take care of everything. In verse number 11, you will find after they secured the temple ground. Then they brought out the king's son and put him on the crown, gave him a testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his son anointed him and said, God save the king. Now he was 7 years old. So imagine a seven-year-old boy. They put a little crown on his head, put a robe on him, and said, Now you are the king. And they were simply worshiping God and praising God for what was happening. In verse number 12, Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the house of the Lord. She came down from the palace and went to the temple compound. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at a pillar at the entering in, and the princes, the trumpet by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced, sounded with the trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent the clothes and said, Treason, treason. She realized there's been a coup. Then Jehoiada, the priest, brought out the captive hundred that was set of the host and said unto them, Have a fourth of the ranges. Whosoever follows her, let him be slain with a sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So laid hands on her, which had come to entering the house gate by the king's house, and slew her there. That was the end of Athaliah. If you look now in page 3 of my outline here on King Jehoash, since Joash, he had two names here, Jehoash or Joash. Since Joash was only 7 years old, the real ruler and power broker during his childhood was Jehoiada. Not only did he rule Judah, but he also ensured that Jehoash was educated, particularly in knowledge of the Lord and the five books of Moses. If you look now in 2 Chronicles 24, verses 1 through 3, we see a mistake was made here. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Sibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord in all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Notice now, as long as Jehoiada was priest, he was his counselor, he was running the show, Joash served God. But the mistake was made here in verse number 3, and Jehoiada took him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. Why the priest did that, we don't know. Did his first wife die? Had to get a second one? Or did he give it two women at the same time? We don't know. But we do know this. A threesome is never good. God set it up, one man, one woman, not two women, one man, two men, one woman. And this is, I believe, was a breach. This is a breach that came in here that Jehoiada made a mistake. Now, there was a renewal, and we find here now that Joash simply wanted to begin to repair. And we look in 24, verses 1 through 3, we read that. We just continue down here, read the verses 4 and down here. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah, gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hasten it not. And the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said to him, why have you not required of the Levites to bring out of Judah, out of Jerusalem, the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation, for the tabernacle witness? For the sons of Athaliah, the wicked woman, have broken up the house of God, also the dedicated things of the house which the Lord had bestowed upon Balaam. At the king's commandment, they made a chest, sent it without the gate of the house of the Lord. Now, if you go down to this chapter here, you'll find now that Joash simply said, I want to serve the Lord. So he was now walking with the Lord. They were repairing the temple grounds. They were instituting again worship of God. And he was doing fine. But something happens. In verse number 15, we read this. At chapter 24. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. And 130 years old when he died. So he lived 130 years. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both to his God and to his house. Something happened there. Satan will always move when he gets a chance and can get his in his fingers. Jehoiada had been a stabilizing factor. He and his wife had saved Joash from death. He'd raised him up. He was walking with the Lord. But now came knocking at the door. New counselors. Verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. In other words, they came and bowed down and said, oh, hail, King Joash, we love you. Then the king hearkened, or the king listened to them. He got the wrong crowd. They became his counselors. And from here on, it was downhill. Look in verse number 18. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. When we leave God, there's a consequence. This has to do with you as an individual. You might not be married. You might be a single person. You might be a married person. You might be a family. Or you might be several families in a bigger group, where you have grandparents and parents and grandchildren together. But notice, when you leave God, no good is going to come of it. God is going to simply say this, I am not pleased. I have blessed you. Now, I'm going to curse you. I want you to think about this. This week, last week, there was a judgment came down on three people. Three white people had killed a guy. They chased him down with a truck. And they killed him. And these men got sentenced to life imprisonment without possibility of parole. One could get out after 60 years. Ask yourself this. It's obvious that these men were not moved by the Holy Spirit. And when demons make you do stupid things or bad things, the demons never get punished. The person does. And it's a wonderful fact that many times you have people that murder someone and it became mass murder, and they said, why did you do it? Well, I heard voices. I was compelled to do it. Well, there's no way you can take the demons to court. So the person that does it. So when do you get responsible? Let me try to illustrate that for you. Let's say you take a person, and I have this happened in but I know people that have done that. He decides he's going to drink and get drunk. So there's a party, and this particular person is drinking with all the others, and you know, they're getting silly and stupid, you know, and just drunk and so on. And then he decides, you know, I'm going to drive home. So he gets in the car, gets up, drive 60, 70 miles an hour inside the city, gets an intersection, disregard a red light, hit another car, kills a woman, hurt the person. The drunk runs away and simply calls the police and say, you know, somebody stole my car. Well, eventually they caught him. Can a person standing before a judge say this? Well, judge, I didn't mean to do that, but I was drunk. And you know, when you're drunk, judge, you know, you're not doing too good. And judge is not going to say, oh, poor little one, yeah, I understand you were drunk, you know, so we're just going to let you off here, you know. You couldn't help that you were drunk, no. He's going to say this. Before you got in the car, you made a decision to drink. That's when you became responsible. And this person got sentenced to prison, I believe 15 years. But the woman could not come back that he killed. He lost 15 years of his life. When you sin, that is when you become responsible. We got fentanyl in the country here now. And the numbers, I think, they are close to 100,000 people a year that dies of fentanyl. And just this last week, there was a young woman. She's a mother. And she had an accident. She was in excruciating pain, and she was taking different painkillers. And a friend of hers came up and said, you know what? I got these pills here that is the best painkiller on the planet. It's a friend of hers. She made a decision. She didn't say, where did you get the pill from? Who manufactured it? She said, okay, I'll take it. She took it. It was fentanyl. Made in China. She died within a few hours. Gone. Where's responsibility? When you don't check things out. You don't have someone come up and say, hey, I got a pain pill for you. And say, oh, good, you know, I'll take it, you know. Where does it come from? What is it? Who made it? So we're going to go to page 4 right now. And we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 12, and we're going to do 17 through 18. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Joash, king of Judah, took of the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his father's kings of Judah, dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasure of the house of the Lord, in the king's house, and sent to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. Now, he's backslidden. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to go to God, I'm going to ask God to simply protect us. No, he simply told people, bring in all the gold and silver, got everything he had himself, and he simply, let's bribe the king of Syria. You cannot bribe yourself out of a situation. Never come to the place where you depend upon a doctor, medication, your social security, your job, your paycheck. They can be gone anytime in your life. God gives you a job. God is the one that stands behind the paycheck. If you use a doctor, it is God using the doctor. God can use medication if it's the right medication. But remember this, your source is God, period. Everything is augmented, but you don't rely upon that. You go to God first and say, God, this is what I need, and I'm going to rely upon you. Either you're going to use your spiritual arm or your mechanical arm, but either way, God, you are going to do it. Joash didn't do that. He said, I got enough money. I can buy myself out of this. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 24 now. And I'm going to read that one paragraph that is downfall. The God that was upset that once Jehoiada was dead, Joash quickly forgot how he was saved as a babe by Jehoiada and Jehoshabeth. A prophet dispatched to warn the king, but he was indifferent to the message because he had bitten into the forbidden fruit and started to enjoy the sexual perversion that came with the worship of Baal. So we have chapter 24, verse number 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord, and they testify against them, but they will not give ear. Some of you are ministering to other people. It could be people on the job. It could be people in the family. And you're warning them. They laugh at you. They get mad at you. They tell you off and you say you're stupid and this and that. When you have a person that is backslidden, controlled by demons, there's no way to bring that person back. Unless the Holy Spirit convicts that person, you can't convict them. You can read the Bible verses to them. You can say, please don't do this. This is not right. It will be a disaster. They will not listen to you. Stuart Hooker was in this church some 20 years ago. We're taking him through deliverance, fabulous deliverance. And you brought him back, God brought him back to life. Brilliant man, professor in chemistry. And as he got better, he'd been with us about 2 years. He had a tremendous appetite for women. He liked nurses. He would simply ply a nurse. And after he got them in bed with him, he would clean out their bank account. And I remember talking to him. I said, now, you live in an apartment house. There's a woman upstairs that is a Buddhist. I said, I would recommend with your track record, don't spend time with her. Simply do what you're supposed to do. You're too strict. Legalism! You ever heard that word? Legalism. Yeah. Legalism. That doesn't exist. Either you obey God's word or you don't. So what happened? Well, he bedded her down, had sex with a Buddhist. He's, oh, I made a mistake. Okay, come on back, repent, renounce it, cast the demons out, did another deliverance on him. And I warned him, I said, now, Stuart, women, that's your weakness. You cannot even think about it. You got to walk in such a way you protect yourself. He got exactly 10 years after he was delivered. When he died alone, in a bathtub, where he simply had taken an overdose of some kind of medication, and they found him 5 days after floating in the tub. That was the end of Stuart Hooker on this earth. Why? He wouldn't take advice. I had another guy in the ministry. He was part of my worship team. He was the greatest guitar player that I have ever seen. Beautiful voice. And he was with us on Tuesday night for prayer meeting. We were 50, 60 people, and he and a couple of other people would be there with his guitar, and he would lead us to the worship. Beautiful. He ended up bisexual. Died alone. In the place, a squalor. The same day that they put the first Social Security check in his mailbox, they found him on the floor, dead. Sad. This happens over and over and over again. It is almost as bad as if you go to Chicago to the slaughterhouses there. And you try to go out to the cows that are outside, they're kept in the pens, they're getting nice cold water and fresh corn. And you tell these cows, this is the slaughterhouse. They're not giving you this food because they love you. They're giving this so you can kill you. They want to fatten you up. And you can talk to those cows and say, oh, no, no, this is the greatest time. We don't have to run in the field. We got our grain right here. Corn every day, cold water. You can't tell him to leave. And he left the house of the Lord God of the Father and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem. For this is the trespass. Now, who came back? In verse number 23, we read this. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company, not a big army. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment upon Joash. I want you to see this. It says here, and God delivered them. God turned them over. I could line up 50 people on the back here that I had in this ministry. In the United States, overseas. That we took through deliverance. We led them to Christ. They walked with us. But they would not give up their sins. They slid back into it. And they died. They lost their jobs. Disaster. Divorce. Married. Divorce. I started out saying this. Every day, you are ministered to by the Holy Spirit and by evil spirit. If you turn to the Holy Spirit, the evil spirit will flee. But if you turn to the evil spirit, the Holy Spirit will leave you. So let's read on here. Verse 25. And when they were departed, of him. For they left him in great diseases. But in other words, they probably whacked him. He's laying on his bed. His own servants conspired against him. For the blood of the sons of Jehoiada, the priest that slew him on his bed, and he died. They buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not to the sepulchres of the kings. What else had he done? He had Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. He had him murdered, stoned, when he came with a prophetic word. So if you look at the bottom here now, on page 4 of the outline, a summary. Joash ruled as the king of Judah for 42 years. The first 13 years was under the conservative of Jehoiada. Assuming that Jehoiada was his sole counselor for 10 years, that means that Joash reigned for 19 years with the ungodly princes of Judah. What made Joash turn away from God and serve Baal? Was it sexual perversion associated with Baal worship? Was he craving for recognition of the political leaders of Judah? Was he bored and seeking change? And I want to ask you a question today that are watching. You might be watching now or later. Where are you at? Have you understood that every day you are ministered to by the Holy Spirit, or by unholy spirit? Remember now, Joash didn't backslide like 100 miles an hour. It was gradual. If you are controlled by jealousy, anger, bitterness, resentment, you are controlled by evil spirits. And you have to make a choice. You cannot say, well, you know, there are circumstances. Let me tell you this. There are no circumstances. You have a choice. A lot of people have shafted me over the years. I had a choice. I could be bitter. I could have revenge. I could have done hurt, or I forgave, released, and moved on. You got a choice. You might say, well, I'm stuck in a household someplace, and I'm stuck with people I don't like. Well, remember this. God loves people. Don't hate or don't like somebody that God loves. We say this, you know what, so-and-so doesn't love me. I don't love this person there. We got to learn this. We are where we are because that's where God put us. If you got a lot of lemons, make lemonade. Don't try to eat them and get sour. We got to do the best we can in circumstances. So is it worth to sin like Jonah at Nineveh? He said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. So God prepared him. He had him in a little fish for a little while. He went to Nineveh. And he did warn them. He sat down under the booth and said, I'm going to watch this. And when he saw that people repented and God forgave them, he got angry. He said, I knew this. I hate these people. I want them creamed. And God said, Jonah, be thankful. Praise me. Your message saved 100,000 people. I can say a lot of more things. I think I made my point. So if you're watching, and you said, I'm not saved, but I'm not doing well. Well, good news. You can get saved right now. Here's what you do. You simply ask God to forgive you. You say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He rose on the third day. He paid my sins. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus, come on in. Save me. Forgive me. And he will. But if you finish here, the screen will change on your computer or your television screen. Three crosses will come up. And you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles come up and say, my friend, he would lead you a few minutes, tell you more about salvation, pray with you, and you get saved today. If you do get saved today, would you call us, write us, go to our website, because we like to rejoice with you, talk to you, give you a gift or something, and rejoice with you in salvation. To those of you that are walking with the Lord, there are different levels. Some of you very close to God, there's a scale going down to some people are barely hanging on. Make a decision today. We had three people in this message. Ahaziah, Athaliah, and Jehosh. All three bombed out. Why? Because they made a choice. You don't want to bomb out. If you got problems, this is a time to just go in the room by yourself where you are, throw yourself down on the floor and cry out and say, God, I'm a wicked person. I got to give up this anger. I got to give up this bitterness. I just can't do it anymore. I don't want to be like these three people end up in a bad situation. I'm pleading with you. It's hurting you. It's hurting people around you. You have to make a choice. What choice are you going to make today? Here is Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word, for the ability to understand and comprehend the word. Thank you for people that deliver the word. And we thank you for the written word. And we just ask your blessing upon those that took part in today's message. Those that decided it was worth their time to set aside to go to church. Your word says that it is what we need to do as believers. We need to be in church. And even if you got a church that's not too good, you can go there and make it better. We thank you for those that decided it was worth it to listen to God and go to church today. And we ask your blessing on them. And for those that will hear the message online in the future, we pray that they will understand, have clarity, and walk with God. And we praise your name. Lord, we lift up the situation in the world today where they're trying to force people into the beast system. And we pray for strength for the believer to rise above it, not be hornswoggled or confused, but be able to discern the times, Lord. The Bible says that Jesus will come as a thief in the night on the second coming. But that is for those that are not awake, because those that are awake will know the times and the seasons. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. They're mighty. Thank you for the abundance. We thank you that we have a future that is secure. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. Our future is secure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past.
and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 53rd part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Kings of Judah. Ahaziah saw the result of Luciferian worship in his father's life and followed the same course until he met God's executioner. Athaliah went ballistic when she heard that Jehu had killed her son. She declared herself queen and ordered the slaughter of her grandchildren. Unbeknownst to her, one grandson survived and remained hidden in the temple complex until a public coronation some 7 years later. Joash served the Lord as long as the priest Jehoiada was alive, but then he embraced Baal worship. Jesus sent Zechariah to rebuke the king, and Joash ordered him stoned to death. The Syrian military assault was divine retribution. Joash was bedridden from the torture, and palace servants killed him in revenge for Zechariah's unjust death. All three monarchs suffered the same gruesome fate, regicide. They embraced Lucifer and offered nothing of spiritual value to the people. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1842. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.